Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and we're so glad that you're here. We use our mojo to really become greater leaders. Now, let's get started by listening to something good. Oh, I feel good. I knew that. Want to make 2017 your best year ever? Then let me be your teacher, your mentor. I've prepared special courses and webinars for you that will help you succeed and to give you access directly to me. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today. You have nothing to lose. Try me for 30 days, and if you aren't satisfied, I guarantee you a full refund, no questions asked. Don't go it alone. Let me be your guide at mojouniversity.com. Be successful today. Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and I'm thrilled today to introduce my special guest, Mr. Rick Woods. Now, Rick is the CEO and founder of The Functional Organizer, and he helps clients make room for clarity in their life by clearing out the clutter. And Lord knows I need that, Rick. So we're gonna help a lot of people today. He does this because he knows that it creates a functional and healthy and supportive environment where there's room to pursue our goals daily. Rick also appears monthly on a daily NBC television program in Western Massachusetts called Mass Appeal. And he's written a book on decluttering, which is called Make Room for Clarity. And he helps people understand how to get rid of clutter and uses it through a process he calls the stuff cycle. So, Rick, welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Glad to have you today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, it's my pleasure. And before we get off into decluttering our life, Rick, why don't you share with us what fun thing that you've been up to lately outside of work?
Outside of work. One of my big passions is listening to music. I love my XM radio in the car, and I love discovering new songs. And it's just something I've always had a big passion for. Actually, one of the big topics in my book, Make Room for Clarity, is about my 3,000 CD collection that I had.
Oh my
back
goodness.
In the day. I've whittled it down to just one box set of the Beatles, and that's it. All the rest is digitally transferred onto my computer. So I've made a lot of room for clarity in that aspect. But yeah, I mean, music has been a big passion of mine throughout my whole life since I was a kid. So yeah, that's something I'm always going back to.
Well, Rick, that's awesome, and congratulations for narrowing it down. With 3,000 songs, I would tell you it almost classifies as an addiction, not just a passion, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely an addiction. It was a little too much, and I was becoming obsessed with my possession, so I had to make some changes there.
I love it. I love it. Now, Rick, I think all of us really suffer from this. This idea of clutter and how it interferes with us. Would you mind sharing with us your opinion on how clutter and interference can actually affect our ability to lead?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So think about when you're in a leadership position and you have maybe there's 50 things on your to-do list. You don't know which one's the most important thing to get across to your team, right? I mean, you want to sit down, you want to focus on maybe what are the three or four things I really need to get across to this team. Figure out what those three or four things are, and then say to yourself, what's the most important thing out of these four things that I can talk about right now to get the ball rolling, to get the point across to the team, and to get these guys moving forward so we can hit our goals? So, yeah, I mean, if you're not organized and you don't know what the most important thing is to work on at that time, then, yeah, I mean, your leadership's going to suffer. So it's really important just to take maybe just 10 or 15 minutes to find out what the most important thing is to do at that time. Granted, most of the things on your to-do list are important to do at some time. But mm-hmm. what I say to people is, what's the most important thing you need to do today, like right now, that's mm-hmm. going to help you the most? That's the thing you want to aim towards, and that's the thing you want to focus on the most.
Well, I think that's a great first tip to get us to begin thinking, because we certainly want to achieve our goals, and we need to achieve our goals with our team. What I'd like to talk about, though, a little deeper right now is, can you share with us from your research and application with people, where do the roots of clutter really come from? Why is this always such a really difficult time for all of us?
Two words: emotional attachment. That's right. Really what it comes down to. I mean, think about like you're a kid, some things you might have held, some collections you might have had as a kid, and you still have them, right? Or maybe something you bought a couple years ago reminds you of when you were a kid, or a certain event that you had, and it's just an emotional attachment to that item. So it makes it harder to get rid of that thing. It's not just an object. It's actually an emotion attached to the object. So say you're getting rid of two things. You're getting rid of the emotion and the item itself. And that's why a lot of us just hold on to it, even if we're not using it. We'll just keep it because, you know, we bought it. And another thing is, we spent money on it, right? So that's another emotional attachment. Oh, I spent $50 on that piece of furniture, so I don't want to let that go because it's a lot of money, right? So, you know, they start getting attached to the price, and then they get attached to the emotion, and it just becomes a whole attachment thing versus just saying, you know what, this is just something that was made in the factory, and now I'm going to send it to somebody else, maybe to Goodwill, that can use it, right? So we want to try to peel off that emotional attachment the best we can. And the best way to do that is to get practice of releasing things. The more things we let go, the more things we donate, the easier it gets to release that emotional attachment.
Well, I think you know, this is a big lesson for all of us. I know my wife and I are regular contributors to Goodwill. I think she's done it more often in her life than I did. I think I had to learn that. I had to figure out how to get rid of junk, because I did, in fact, I had that problem. And sometimes maybe I even take it further. So I want to talk about more, not just the things we bought and stuff, but What about all of the paperwork and all of the stuff that really is associated with our job? It seems like we're just as attached to that as if we bought that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, think of a blanket, right? Think of a blanket when it's spread out. Mm-hmm. That's pretty large area, right? Now think of that right. blanket as being paper, right? Wouldn't right. you like to take that blanket and fold it up into a square and have all your paper being like one pile, right? Versus having it all over the place. So one thing is to just get control of the piles, right? Just take all those piles, all that scatter paper that's all over the place, and make a pile out of it. And then say, you know what do I really need out of this pile? Like, ask yourself the question before you even touch the paper. Like, what's the most important thing right now that I need to be working on? Like, maybe it's tax season, right? So taxes is what I'm going to focus on, right? So taxes and bills, those are the two most important things. All the other paperwork is probably junk mail, maybe some stuff for my kids' school, this and that might be important to look at, but taxes and bills are the two most important things. So you're just going to take your pile and you're going to rifle through two things: keep and get rid of. That's all you're going to have. Keep and get rid of, keep and get rid of. Two piles. And then the get rid of pile, you're going to either shred or recycle, however you want to separate that out. But then the keep pile, you're going to do two things. You're going to say, okay, you know what? What's archive, which is long-term storage, which I don't need to look at right now. And what's current action that I need to take on right now? So those are your two piles. Once you get that archive one, put it aside. Don't worry about the filing yet, but you don't have to look at that, right? So now you're just looking at one pile of current action stuff. And in that current action stuff, you want to find the most important stuff, which you just talked about before, which was taxes and bills. Separate two piles, one taxes, one bills. So if you keep doing twos across the board for your piles, it makes decision-making a lot easier. And the reason why we keep a lot of things like scattered paper and all this other stuff around the house and just gets really messy is because we're delaying our decisions on what to do with it and where to put it, because we don't have a place for it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have a system. Or maybe the system's broken. Maybe we have a file cabinet, but it's full, so there's nowhere to put that paper. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a lot harder. So what you need to do then there is you need to go through those file cabinets, because that's the root evil right there, and get rid of the stuff that you haven't been using. And guaranteed 80% of that stuff in there you've never looked at since you filed it. The whole point of a filing system is it's a retrieval system, not a filing system. So think to yourself and ask the question, how will I retrieve this down the road? And that's how you want to label it, and that's what you want to file. You don't file something just for the sake of filing it. You only file stuff you know you will be taking back and looking at in the future to help you with your goals going forward.
All right, I want you to say that one more time, just so that I can get that into my brain. I'm only going to file that which I'm going to retrieve. Is that right? Is that
correct? Correct. So think of your filing cabinet as a retrieval cabinet. And a lot of us just think of it as filing things away and never looking at it again. Well, that's not the strategy. You want to say, this is my retrieval cabinet. This is like my best friend. I love this filing cabinet. We hate filing because we just keep shoving things in there and we can never find anything because there's too much stuff.
Right.
But if we just make it a retrieval cabinet and we only put things in there that we're going to be taking out and looking at, and you know, maybe, you know, some things you may not look at for a long time, but if you have your birth certificate and your passports in a file that says important documents, hey, you pull that out. And if you need to go somewhere or you need some type of identification quickly and easily, you know where to go for that, right? It's right there. It's easy. It's easy to find. And it's less stuff in between. I mean, you don't want to be filing, you know, flyers from junk mail and stuff like that. We want to just get that stuff out of here. That's eating up too much space in our brain, and it's using up too much energy that we can be expending doing something else.
I love that. I love the idea of calling it a retrieval cabinet. I think that so many times I have been guilty myself of, you know, I'll keep something that truly was important, but then because I really wasn't following a system, I have no freaking idea where I put it. And I wind up wasting a lot of time searching for something I know darn well I kept, but now I can't figure out where in the world that I put it. So I feel like a lot of leaders are like me, that we're really stretched for time. We're always looking for ways to get better, but we wind up causing ourselves even more heartache because we want to hold on to stuff. How do we begin to reprogram our brain to begin to think in this process of twos? I want you to talk a little more about that process, because I think it's very important for us in terms of making decisions.
Sure. So if you only have two choices, it's easier to make a decision, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to say, okay, here's 8,000 pieces of paper on your dining room table, Steve, I need you to just sort all that out for me. What would your brain say?
Kill you for making me go through 8,000 pieces of paper.
Okay. Now, if I said you're going to take those 8,000 pieces of paper and you're just going to make two decisions, a keep pile and a trash pile, and you have 1 hour to do that, do it as fast as you can. You think you could probably do that?
I'll bet you I'd do it really fast. You'd probably do it really fast. Trash pile would be in a hurry.
Yeah. First of all, you're giving yourself an hour. And whenever you give yourself a goal or a time limit, usually we're going to try to meet that time limit because there's other things we'd rather do than, you know, sort paper. Who wants to do that? That's one of the worst things ever. I mean, 95% of the clients that I have a paper issue, right? Along with all their other stuff that they have, like all their physical stuff. But most of them have an issue with paper too. And if you can get your paper under control, I guarantee you it's going to be easier to get your stuff under control, because the paper, that's just one of the bad habits we all have. And once you can get that streamlined and fixed and start working on these theories of twos like this and just making two decisions and everything, it's going to be so much easier going through your basement and decluttering that, right? Because those are bigger physical items. And that's going to go much quicker than little pieces of paper where it's really hard to make decisions on, because you have to read the piece of paper and see how, if it's important or if it's not important, if there's a due date or what's going on. So there's a lot more going on with the brain with paper, which is why most people have the paper issue, because the decisions take longer to make.
They do. So, I don't think, you know, I guess I learned, it's kind of strange. I've done part of this, but never consistently thought of this as a keep or get rid of. Because like if I went through mail, which would be the same way I do on email, I have no problem trashing stuff, and that I need to keep, I'll keep. But when it comes to that physical piece of paper, holy crap, I wind up getting all kinds of stuff lying around, and I just want to, you know, beat myself with a hammer sometimes just to get rid of that. So I like your idea of actually getting this to a point where we can think about the keep and the get rid of pile. I think that can help a lot of us.
That can. And ask yourself the question with some of this stuff. If you're really not sure what to do with it, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if I shred this piece of paper or throw it out? Or mm-hmm. I mean, what really? What's the worst thing? Maybe they'll send it to me again. Yeah, maybe that might happen. So, I mean, it's not like I'm going to lose it, because if it's really important, I'll probably receive it in the mail again, right? So it's not that bad.
It's so true. It reminds me of, you know, so many people, we all have multiple email addresses, or I remember when Gmail first started, you know, they gave us just tons of storage space. And the idea behind Gmail is, hey, never worry about deleting an email again. You can keep them all. And so in reality, people were doing that. People were keeping every freaking email. And so what did Google do? They sold a lot of extra storage space because people were keeping every single thing, even if it was junk.
Yeah. Yeah. Email, that's a great example. I will go through my email probably twice a day is all I'll do. That's the only time I'll look at it, is like once in the morning and probably once like late afternoon, early evening. Mm-hmm. And I will just start trashing things before I even open it. I know exactly what I want and what I don't want. And that's another good habit to get into. Don't worry about happen to open an email before you delete it. I mean, you know what the spam stuff is before you even see it. I mean, if there's somebody you're familiar with a name, obviously you're going to open it. You probably have a file for it. But if it's something you're not familiar with or it doesn't spark your interest in any way, hit the delete button before you even open it.
I love that. And listeners, I want to make sure you know my emails are really important. So don't just delete them right off the bat.
Keep Steve's emails. Don't delete his.
Oh, no, I get it totally. And I think sometimes that's exactly what you have to do in order to really maintain control. You know, does your research show that really it kind of that some of this, the roots of this clutter kind of compulsive behavior, or is any of that related to why we do these things, or is it just truly that we just don't have a system, don't know what to do?
It's both. I mean, some are more mental. You know, some have more of a illness associated with them, like some type of extreme OCD, ADD, ADHD. A lot of that's part of it. Then you have hoarding, which is a whole nother, that's just a huge dynamic. That's like a 15-hour conversation.
Right.
That's just extreme, you know, mental illness when it comes to stuff. Associate a plastic bag from a diamond ring. They both have the same amount of value to them. So that's like that. You need to have a psychiatrist involved and a lot of psychotherapy and stuff like that when you're working with clients like that. So that's just a whole nother conversation. We won't really get into that too much, but for the average layman, like, you know, you and me and woman, it's just, we don't know what to do. Right. So there's no system in place. There's nowhere to put it. And that's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Either the system isn't working, number one, or the system is full, number two, or there's no system at all. You know, that's the third thing. Those are really the only three reasons why you can't organize. It's based on your system and what you have available for space and this and that. And really the root to all this, if you clear out the stuff you're not using, you don't need, that you don't really attend to, then you're going to have the room to store the items that you're bringing in. Right. So, mm-hmm. That's really the biggest piece. That's really what it's all about. That's the nuts and bolts of organizing. The biggest thing in organizing is purging, really getting rid of the stuff that doesn't suit you in your life today going forward. Just keeping the stuff in the past and making your house a museum that you're just looking at things and never using them isn't going to help you with the new stuff that's coming in, right? Because everything's going to get backed up. You'll be storing things in the basement because you don't have room up here. And then the basement's going to get full and you'll be buying a storage unit down the road and that's going to get full. And then you'll buy another storage unit and here you are spending, what, $1,000 a month to store things you're not even looking at down the road in a storage unit because you had no room in your house for the things that you're not using. Kind of weird, right? It's kind of funny to think about it. Silly games we play with our stuff just because we don't want to make the decision, right? We have delayed decisions on what we need to get rid of. So once we make those decisions to get rid of it and move it out of the house, then we have the more room that we're looking for so we can organize our stuff when it comes in. That's why organization is so hard, because you have too much stuff to begin with.
Yeah, it truly is, and it can be a real problem. And I know I'm just curious your opinion on this. For me, because paper was always an issue for me. Too much crap that hung on to, and I've kind of learned how to get rid of it now. But at the same time, for me, it was thinking in terms of digitally. How often do you recommend to your clients to really master things like, I have a scanner next to my desk, and if it's something that's really important that I need to retrieve, I scan it, put it into Evernote so that I can easily find it now. But what is your thought about that? Or I would think that we could even abuse that.
We can really abuse scanning. And you know what? I think in your situation where you're scanning things into Evernote, which is great. I mean, that's an awesome system. So I'm glad you're using that. That's the future right there. Systems like Evernote, and there's going to be new ones, I'm sure, that are going to be just like Evernote, but different, in the future. So that's really where a lot of the paper is going. It's going digital. And then again, I mean, we're going to go back to the whole thing. You're going to treat this as a retrieval system, right? So your Evernote should basically just be a retrieval stuff. You're not just throwing anything in there that you think you might want someday. It's your passions. It's the things that interest you the most, right? It's your A+ stuff you want to throw in there. You know, if you're going to throw like C+ stuff in there, you're not going to get the results you want when you're searching for something down the road. You want to throw all the best, 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 best. I mean, you're the best, right, Steve? So only you deserve the best. So throw all your best stuff in there. Don't scan something that's not going to have a whole lot of value down the road. Scan those important documents, important photos, whatever it is you have that's really going to be working for you going forward. That's what you want to scan. Don't be scanning, the stuff that doesn't matter as much. That's the stuff we want to just get rid of. And that's where the scanning of abusing can happen, because you think we need to scan everything in there, and we don't really need everything. We only want to have select things, have the best things.
Absolutely. And I, like everything else, I have to learn that the hard way. At first, I started scanning a lot of stuff I didn't really need. And so I found out that I was keeping junk that I was never going to get. And it just was silly. But when I learned how to master tagging and really by topic things that made it easy for me to search, you know what? It actually did help give me more time back. So now I'm not searching for stuff like I did before. And
Evernote's a phenomenal productivity tool. And I'm still learning things about it. I mean, it's changing all the time, which is great. That's what's great about the program. They're always updating it, and they're enhancing it and making it better.
Yeah, it's really, really a great tool. For those of you that are not using Evernote, I highly recommend it. And I use a little ScanSnap scanner that makes it really easy for me to keep up with stuff that's really important. And just while we're here, Rick, I just want to point out to our listeners, just today, I used, in the past, I would have had a heck of a time really finding the piece of paper where I'd really planned out my 2016 goals. And I wanted to look at the original document where I really planned it. And I had scanned it. So, I mean, in one click of the button, I had already had it pulled up and I could review
nice.
Where that I had, what I had done for the year. So, you know, that to me is very healthy for organized, but I was a poster child for not being able to find anything. And I'm getting better due to listening to people like you tell me, hey, keep getting better. I love the power of two. I think that's what I'm going to call it for myself. It's the power of two.
Excellent. That's what I was calling it. I just didn't call it that on the air, but yeah, that's it. Power of two.
I love it. That's awesome. Great minds think alike, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So see, you are teaching an old dog new tricks today. And you weren't even being, you weren't ordering me to do it. You just led me down the path.
Yeah.
And I love it. So, Rick, for people that are listening today, what would be, your top two recommendations that they should really do right away to make their lives easier?
Okay, I think the biggest thing is when you're scheduling something, it's really important to list it, to schedule it, and then just do it. So I call that the LSD. nothing to do with the drug itself, but it actually helps you remember things, right? So you remember LSD, you're going to remember list it, schedule it, do it. So, you know, you make your to-do list, whatever that is, and then you grab things off that to-do list and you schedule them in your calendar, and then you can do them, right? So if we have a to-do list and we're having trouble doing things on our to-do list, it's because we're not scheduling it. And if it's not scheduled, then we're most likely not going to do it. So, you know, you've heard if you write something down, it's like 40% chance you're actually going to do it. So that's the listing part, right? Then you actually schedule it. You're actually giving yourself a set date and a time you're going to actually do the item on your to-do list. And then you actually do it when it comes up. And you treat that item on your schedule like you would any appointment you would have with, you know, really important business colleagues and this and that. Because that's your appointment with yourself and things you need to do, which is going to help you move forward on your goals. So that's one. And then the other thing is,
hey, I want to stop right there.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to tell our listeners, don't tell me you don't have time to coach your team anymore, because Rick just told us exactly what we have to do. We got to list it. We got to schedule it. We got to do it. So cut the excuses and do it.
It's that easy. And you know how you said, when you said cut the excuses, I like that, because we're also going to cut things on our to-do list, and we're going to have a not to-do list, believe it or not. So I'm a big proponent on things that we shouldn't be doing. So you should be writing down things you shouldn't be doing. So things that are unproductive, put that on your not to-do list. So when you're doing your to-do list or having trouble, tough time doing your to-do list, look at your not to-do list and you'll say, oh, wait, I guess I've done this. I did that. I shouldn't be doing that stuff. So if you're having trouble with your to-do list and you look at your not to-do list, most likely it's going to be on that not to-do list. So
I didn't even have a not to-do list, Rick. Now I've got one.
You want to have that not to-do list. That's going to keep you on track with your to-do list.
I love it. That's a great tip.
maybe playing too many apps on your phone, too many games, that might be on your not to-do list, right? So it's going to force you to get your, you know, get your work done.
Oh, I can't wait to create my not to do list, because I got quite a few.
It's actually kind of fun creating it. I had a good time doing mine. So, you know, have fun with it. It's what it's all about. It's all about having fun, right?
I think it is about having fun. But I'll tell you that for many years, I felt like I was some kind of freaking computer or robot that I had to maximize every single second of every day. And it caused me really to waste a lot of time instead of really being good at it. Just having a not to do list probably would have saved me a lot of frustration. So I'm going to implement that right away myself. I'm going to list it. I'm going to schedule it, and I'm going to do it.
I like that, Steve. And you also mentioned, what were you just saying? You were saying something about, what was that? This is what I just remembered. Okay. You were saying that you were trying to schedule every single minute. Is that what it was? Or you didn't want to waste any time?
Yep, I was.
Yeah. So here's another tip. Schedule downtime, schedule relaxed time, and schedule vacation time. Those are just as important as your work time. So, I mean, you could be really productive and even more productive if you schedule that downtime. Don't try to jam everything in one day. Give yourself space. Give yourself clarity between the projects you're working on. Give yourself time to think. Give yourself time to review what you just did. Maybe write down the key things that were important, right? Give yourself that extra time. Then give yourself a few minutes, just have a little bit of a break, right? And then give yourself a day, like one day a month where you just don't have anything scheduled. And it's just your day. It's like Steve Day. Do whatever you want, right? You don't have to worry about doing things on your to-do list. That's going to keep you fresher. You're going to have more fun doing what you're doing when you do stuff like that.
You'll find you have the time.
You'll have the time to take those days off if you're being productive on those other days.
Rick, I love that advice, and I hope everybody will take it, because I am doing that. But in my story, my daughters would tell you that I'm the poster child for sucking at scheduling time for myself. And that I just was such a workaholic that it was just crazy. But now I'm pretty darn good at it, and I want to share what my secret was.
Love to hear it.
My secret discovery was that I gave my wife access to my calendar, and she schedules my fun time. It actually gets on my calendar now. and it's reserved and I can't change it.
That's good. That's good.
What a cool thing that's turned out to be.
That's a partnership right there.
And it makes us both happy because I get a little time. Well, I can't meet with you that day. I've got that day scheduled. And I'm sure not going to go tell her, hey, you know, I'm overriding your authority here. I'm going to do whatever the heck I want to do. I mean, that seems like a punishment in another way, and I don't really want that. So I've learned how to get away from some of my own compulsions. And I think this is such a big deal for people in leadership roles in companies, because everybody says they still come up with the same crap. Oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time. I don't do this. I don't do that. Well, it's because they're doing all of those compulsive things that you've been telling us today to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Rick, I know people are going to want to connect with you and know more about how maybe they'd work directly with you, and maybe they need some help doing just like I have. Share with our listeners how best to connect with you.
You can connect with me via email. That'd be great.
All right. And what's your email address?
It's Rick, R-I-C-K, at the, T-H-E, functional, F-U-N-C-T-I-O-N-A-L, organizer, O-R-G-A-N-I-Z-E-R.com. Rick at the functional organizer.com.
All right. And we'll put that in the show notes for those of you that are exercising now. We'll also put a link to Rick's website, thefunctionalorganizer.com. If you'd like to go there and visit, and I certainly would recommend that. And I absolutely recommend you go on Amazon, buy his book, at least get the digital copy and start learning. Rick, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. Is there one final thing that you would want to encourage everybody to do today before we close?
Definitely, definitely. Thanks for asking that too, by the way. Here's a real easy tip for everybody. Grab a bag right after you listen to this podcast and go around your house. Fill that bag with things that you want to donate. And it shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes. You should be able to fill that bag. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff in the house you can start donating. Start with easy stuff. Maybe it's books. You know, maybe it's CDs. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's clothes. Find an item that doesn't have a whole lot of emotional attachment and just start getting rid of that stuff you haven't worn in a while or haven't used in a while. And, you know, throw it in your car and drop it off at Goodwill tomorrow.
That's an awesome advice. And I love that advice, Rick, because we all should be doing that to really help. It helps not only Goodwill, but it helps us as well.
It sure does.
Our guest today has been Mr. Rick Woods. Rick is the CEO and founder of The Functional Organizer. Rick, thank you so much for your contribution today, and we wish you continued success and look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Same to you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Steve here, and one last reminder. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and want to encourage you, go over to mojouniversity.com. Before you forget it, make sure you sign up for our training site. And let me be your teacher this year. I promise you, you're going to be successful. You're going to love it. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today.